We had the most superb dinner at Gilt the other night, and we now are talking to Christopher Lee, the chef, who has really transformed this restaurant. I asked you when we were talking beforehand, I wasn't aware really much about you until you suddenly won Rising Star Chef when you were executive chef at Striped Bass in Philadelphia. And what crossed my mind is that your cooking is so sophisticated here at Gilt. How did you get from cooking fish to being a glamour chef?
That's a good question. It's kind of funny. You know, every place you go and every restaurant you work at, it's always a stepping stone. You know, working at the Striped Bass was definitely a stepping stone. We also still had, you know, Steven Starr, who was the owner of the Striped Bass and the Starr organization. He kind of had a little handcuff on us, told us what we can and can't do. So, you know, we did a really, really good job down there, but definitely we didn't rise to our potential. And here at Gilt, we're actually having that opportunity to rise to our potential and be what we want, do what we want, and have a lot of fun with what we do.
Now, this place is a very special place. Could you explain a little bit of the history? And it's glamorous, it's gilded, it's almost over the top.
Well, it's the Villard Mansion, so it's the old world New York. You look at the Villard Mansion, you come in, it's one of the first kind of residences ever built in Manhattan, and it dates back into the 1800s. It's a beautiful architectural layout. The woodwork, the handcraft, it's just stunning. It's very inspiring when you walk through these walls. A lot of history here, whether it's from, you know, private cooks and people's homes to the Hemsley Hotel, to the Hemsley Hotel, to the New York Palace, to the Le Cirque, to current Gilt. I mean, you can sit around here and you can say there's been, who knows, been walking through these halls, let's say. But it's just a beautiful place. It's gilded. It's super high end, super luxurious. It really shows the sophistication of what New York was when it was built.
But now you brought up a point. You brought up two points. You kind of started, you took this job and had to turn around the menu, as you said before, in 5 days. So you're working under two misconceptions or two clouds. One is that it was a type of food that was not well accepted in the city because it was so wildly experimental. The second is that everyone viewed it as a one-time shot, and it was too expensive. Now, I think maybe you should tell us that it's neither of those now.
I mean, that's true. I mean, when I was hired and came upon to replace Paul Liebrand as the chef at Gilt, you know, we came in with a different mentality. We really wanted to bring a new focus, a new cuisine here to show people that the pretentiousness of the food that was before is lightened up. We also reduced the menu price. You know, it was $92 for prefix, and we brought it down to $78 a prefix or three courses. And really, we're going after a new American cuisine with a farm fresh seasonal product idea, where we're going to have like food that, you know, just, you know, that's super tasty and it looks great. You know, our goal here is when you look at our menu, you just don't want one item. You want like five or six, and that means you might have to come back next week to try something else. So we really want to make things recognizable and suitable for our clients, you know, and not something that's so out there and over their head that they don't know what they're eating and what they're getting into, and they're leaving confused. The last thing we want is someone to leave us confused about what they just went through, their experience.
Well, we weren't confused. We knew we had an absolutely fabulous meal. I'm going to ask you in a little bit to go through some of the items that we had, but you said something that was so sensitive before we started recording about the difference between cooking, the sensitivity to cooking fish, and the sense and what you need to do to cook meat. And I thought that was something that listeners would enjoy hearing.
Well, I don't want to piss anyone off or stereotype anyone, but in my opinion, you know, I never really wanted to be a part of or was focused to be part of the seafood world, but I kind of was working at Oceana Striped Bass. But it taught you to learn finesse. That's one thing I've learned about seafood cookery compared to meat cookery, where it's very finesse. It's very feminine. It's very delicate. You got to have a really light touch and a great palate to understand how to pair like sides or garnishes or sauces with seafood versus meat cookery, which is very aggressive, very manly, very like, you know, robust, and you can kind of mix a lot of things and get away with it with meat. You can't so with seafood. Seafood has different fat flavors and contents and textures. meat, the color of the meat. It's just, there's a lot of great aspects to seafood, and it's a really big challenge. You know, it's challenged my life for the last probably about 6 years. So it's nice to be playing with both, though. I'll tell you that one.
Chris, I have this menu, which you beautifully printed out, of what we had to eat that when we had dinner here. And I just want you to look over some of these things and pick some things that you particularly like and tell us why you did them or anything particular about them.
Sure. I mean, there's it's kind of funny when you talk about our menu and what we do and how we design it. Some dishes come out of us out of the blue, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. And then there's some dishes that actually have a rhyme or reason to it, let's say. You know, you were just talking about the soft shell crab. I mean, the soft shell crab came about, I was eating dinner at Rosa Mexicana, and I was having dinner there with my wife, and we were just enjoying the evening with each other. And I ordered the tortilla soup, and I love tortilla soup. But I, you know, and I was sitting down with, you know, with my sous chefs, and we were coming up with the dishes, and I wanted to pair corn, I wanted to go tomato with soft shell, and I wasn't sure. But then all of a sudden, I just thought about that dining experience. Like, you know what? I'm gonna make a sauce that resembles that tortilla soup, that spicy tomato sauce, and enhance that with, like, really went after now, like, the Southwest or the Mexican flavors with avocado, the lime creme fraiche, the corn itself, you know, a little cilantro in there, and then the soft shell is fried with or it's battered with tempura that has lime and cilantro in it as well. So it kind of made sense all of a sudden. It was definitely a dish we wrestled with for about a week or two, but it just made sense after that. And I think a lot of our dishes come like that, whether we have a favorite dish or a classic dish or a traditional dish, and then we just incorporate that into another look, fine dine feel. The yellowfin tuna Wellington, which is our signature dish, which is a lot of people talk about, was a same thing. You know, I was sitting down and, you know, just thinking about classic dishes. I was like, beef Wellington. I was like, that's one of the winners. Like, how can we incorporate that? And like, we can't do beef because it's too similar. We say, well, what else? What's beef resemble? We're like, tuna. Tuna is the beef of the sea. It's a red meat. It's dense. It's steaky. We said, you know what? It makes sense. And then it kind of like fell into place. We just paired with some more finesse products and techniques, and it just kind of just developed on itself. So, you know, when we develop menu items and when we go through it, we really try to incorporate food that people, well, let's put it this way. We cook for the people rather than cook for ourselves. When a dish comes up that we're sitting, we just don't know, while we're trying too hard to please ourselves and not trying hard enough to please our customers, and that's the question we ask. And then it always comes back and comes full circle. We always end up in the right direction, let's say.
You're really sensible. How about some more items on that?
We're looking at the Diary of Sea Scallop Ceviche, which started your meal. It was like kind of like a really fun a play on a lot of Pan-Asian. You know, my father is Chinese, so I do have like that Asian blood in me. So we kind of like went after more of like a mixed Asian feel there. Went after a different way with the ceviche, made it the ceviche dressing is actually based with lychee. So it's a lychee ceviche dressing. So it's kind of that sweet and sour feel. People can relate to it, you know, the flavors aren't that out there, but we had some interesting things to it as well. Textures, full textures, peas, sea urchin. We make a yuzu caviar or carrot yuzu caviar for it, which is kind of like that avant-garde technique. Where we slide in some techniques here and there, but they have to make sense. Our final product has to taste good as well as look good, but you know, it can't be too confusing. One of the new additions was the Neiman Ranch pork loin, which is probably one of our new favorites. You know, very Italian-esque, you know, with the fragola pasta, with the baby arugula, the pine nut puree, the pickled ramps in the sauce with the peaches, the honey vinegar. Kind of like, it's a lot of fun, that's definitely more towards like an Italian spirit. So you can see where the menu goes. It starts wherever it wants and ends where it goes.
No, your wine program was, he just did somersaults to pair up all this food. Tell us a little bit about the wine program.
Jason Ferris and I are very good friends outside of work, which makes our relationship at work even better. We understand each other. We know where we're going. He knows, I mean, he tries every dish we put on the menu. He tries it with wine. We sit down together. We try. He educates me why he thinks his wine tastes great with the food. And, you know, and I agree or I disagree. I give my opinion. But the beautiful thing about it he understands. He loves food, so he understands how food makes wine taste better and how wine makes food taste better. And when we have that combination, we really could do a dining experience. So we encourage people when they come in to dine with us to let us do it. Because we know what we're talking about. We know how to pair the perfect tasting menu with the perfect wine pairing. Where you're going to leave here with a really a sense of, I understand that. Because that's what we try on a daily basis. And the wine program's huge. I mean, we're looking at it. It sells like almost $1 million. It has verticals like I've never seen before. And it's pretty impressive, let's say. And he knows what he's talking about. Very, very young, but he definitely knows what he's talking about.